to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Texas will be playing Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. A lot of Oregon fans don't want to hear about this, but could have been. I was hoping to see my buddy Josh Newman at the Cotton Bowl. I was hoping it would be Oregon and it would be Texas, and I would get to hang out with Newman in the press box, and he is one of my favorite people in the business, and we have had him on this show frequently over the years. But Josh Newman, who is doing a great job covering the University of Texas now for Lone Star Live, he's got boots on the ground, so to speak, in Texas. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate those kind words, but I'll tell you right now, I'm looking out the window here in Irving, and it is gray and snowy and icy and disgusting, so you might have gotten the better end of this deal not having to come to Dallas, okay?
It is a beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest with blue skies. It's one of those beautiful days, Newman. I'll tell you this. All right, so give me an idea. You've covered this team all year. You know, Sark, the Longhorns, are they ready for this?
That's a loaded question. I mean, look, the first thing that comes to mind here is they have not really done a good job of putting teams away, probably dating back to, like, the regular season finale at Texas A&M, right? That was a very defensive-minded game. Queen years had two late turnovers, but the defense sort of bailed them out. You know, they completely dominated Georgia in the SEC championship game. They outgained them like 5-1 in the first half, had only 6 points to show for it, right? They lost in overtime. First round of the college football playoff against Clemson, that was a one-score game, you know, pretty deep into the fourth quarter. You know, they needed, you know, a quasi-miracle against Arizona State in overtime to survive that game. So are they ready? It's, you know, I guess we're going to find out, right? I mean, I think we all saw what Ohio State did to Oregon, and I think that has caused everyone around here to sort of pause and kind of wonder, like, what Texas is walking into. I mean, they're walking into a sledgehammer, essentially. So, but, you know, look, the public front-facing, you know, narrative that Texas will give you, whether it's Sark or, you know, the assistant coaches or Quinn Ewers or the players, right, the front-facing narrative is we can play with anybody, we can beat anybody, we can be in any game. You know, Steve Sarkisian is obviously the play caller for Texas. So, you know, I don't think Texas is going to get, like, its doors blown off. But I'm really curious to see how this game unfolds, specifically, right, those first two or three possessions to open the game in the first quarter.
I definitely think the layoff played a factor for Oregon, even if they won't talk about it or they don't want to make it an excuse. There's just no way you sit for 24 days and you look that bad and you look flat. They looked flat. They looked slow. They didn't look like Oregon. And from your distance in watching that Rose Bowl game, did you think that was more Ohio State or Oregon or some combination?
Look, I didn't turn that game on, frankly, because obviously I was at the Peach Bowl and I was doing work and whatever. I didn't turn that game on until it was like 21-0. but just, you know, the bits and pieces I saw, I did watch it like deep into the fourth quarter. I thought that was Ohio State and just executing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Will Howard, you know, doing what he does and just all the weapons and, you know, and Jeremiah Smith. I thought that was more Ohio State than it was Oregon. You know, the Ohio State that we saw score 10 points and lose to Michigan, that's not the Ohio State that we've seen all year. That's like its own separate thing. The team that we've seen in these last two college football playoff games, that's more representative of what Ohio State generally has been. That's more representative of this $20 million roster that the people with the money in Columbus have put together. So I think it goes without saying, this is by far the most talented roster, the most talented offense that Texas will face all year. And Texas's defense, specifically on the back end, is elite. By any metric, any statistic, any sort of eye test that you want to give it, the Texas defense is very, very good. But this is a bit of a different animal, this Ohio State offense, than the Longhorns have seen this year.
How much fun was it to cover that double overtime Peach Bowl with Arizona State and Texas mixing it up. And it, we were watching it in the press box at the Rose Bowl. That was one of the most fun. I think it might be the best playoff game that, has been played so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure, you know, in this 12-team playoff, it was easily the most fun, the most entertaining. I mean, just for me personally, like, you know, I covered Utah for a few years when Utah was, like, at its apex, right, winning the Pac-12 and going to the Rose Bowl a couple of times. I've been very fortunate to cover some really cool stuff. That Peach Bowl, specifically with that 4th and 13 touchdown pass to, you know, keep the season alive, might have been the coolest thing I've seen here in the last 5 or 6 years, just given the venue, given the stakes. You know, if they don't score that overtime touchdown pass, like, Quinn Ewers' college career is over, and Arch Manning is taking over. So, very cool atmosphere, very cool vibe. You know, the Arizona State fans really traveled for that game. They were loud, they were engaged. So that was one of the, you know, really one of the cooler events, cooler moments, right, that I've been fortunate enough to cover here the last 4 or 5 years.
You talk about Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. How is that relationship working? And I kind of thought we'd see a little more Arch, and we haven't. And, you know, Arch is definitely the future. Ewers is the present. But how has that been to cover those two guys in this season?
It's been interesting. You know, look, we don't get a ton of access around here. You know, we usually get the same, like, 6, 7, 8 players on Monday, and that's, like, the extent of it. Like, the only times that we've talked to Arch this year are the two games that he started earlier when Ewers was hurt, and then we got Arch for a bit at Peach Bowl Media Day. But it's been interesting because, look, Arch is, look, he's a 5-star kid, but he's not your average 5-star kid, if a 5-star can be average, right? He's a Manning family. They don't really play by their own set of rules. Like, look, generally, if a 5-star kid, not even a 5-star kid, if any kid is not playing immediately, let alone for 2 years, normally that kid would hit the portal. But this is a little bit different, okay? The Manning family is not so much worried about college playing time. They are trying to line up this kid for a long pro career, okay? So they are willing to have patience, and that's what's gone on here, right? So he's in year two, learning under Steve Sarkisian, learning under Quinn Ewers, and all the patience that everybody showed when yours sort of like semi-unexpectedly came back this year for a fourth year of college, that's all about to pay off. Because whenever this Texas season ends, whenever it ends, it's going to be Arch's show. And I agree with you. I thought we would see Arch a little bit more here down the stretch. You know, we've seen him like situationally, short yardage, high red zone area a few times here down the stretch. But didn't see him at all against Clemson, didn't see him at all against Arizona State. But the fact that it has happened means that you can't rule it out tomorrow. So we'll see.
Josh Newman, Lone Star Live, and a guy who pronounces the W in coffee is our guest. Let me ask you this. You posted just a couple hours ago, Steve Sarkisian talking earlier this afternoon about his kicker. We all saw it. Gosh, that was painful. Burt Auburn doinking it off the upright in regulation at the buzzer. Is he committed to that kid?
No, that was kind of the big sort of takeaway from that press conference, is that somebody asked, you know, is Burt Auburn going to be the kicker? Now, look, just for context, Burt Auburn was terrific last year. Okay, he was like 29 of 35 last year as a redshirt sophomore, all Big 12. Honorable mention All-American by a couple places. He was really, really good. He has not been good this year. Okay, he's 16 of 25. As you alluded to, he missed a field goal with 1:39 left in regulation in the Peach Bowl. Texas got the ball back. They drive it down. He doinks one off the upright to end regulation. And that was after he got, you know, a pretty like public pep talk from Steve Sarkisian, right? You know, the cameras from ESPN caught that. So you are now in a situation where this is not ideal, okay? We're down to the CFP semis, and you're having a bit of an issue with your kicker. What I think is going to happen is, I think what Steve Sarkisian said to us in the presser, sort of soft-selling the notion that they are looking towards maybe Will Stone, who is their primary kickoff guy, but has never kicked a field goal at the college level. I'm sure there was, you know, some work done during the week, mentally, physically. But this kid, Bert Auburn, he's not a nobody. Okay, he's a proven commodity, and he has made big kicks for this program for a number of years now. Certainly had some bad hiccups against Arizona State, but I do expect that they will let him try to figure it out, and he will be the kicker tomorrow night.
The coaches talked. You're there at Jerry World. You got Sark. You got Ryan Day. Can you gather a little on who's tight, who's not tight? You know, or I know we can make too much of this, but you know, what was the performance like?
You know, it's interesting. Steve Sarkisian is, you know, this pretty look, and you covered Sark before, right? He's a Pac-12 guy. I find him personally to be pretty pleasant, like pretty affable. He'll give you a smile. But when he gets in like that football-ish type of mode and he's in a press conference setting like that, he's pretty straight-laced. He doesn't smile. He doesn't give you a whole lot. He'll answer your question like very thoroughly and very thoughtfully. But, and I've been here, you know, a while now, you don't quite know everything that he's thinking, which is okay. But again, he's pretty thoughtful. He'll give you what you need, but you're really not getting much more out of him than what you ask for, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. I think it's a big game for him. I mean, and Ryan Day kind of got the Ohio State fans off his back, but give me an idea. In the world of Texas fandom, Sark wins this game, Sark loses this game. How does the narrative on him change?
Well, it's massive. Look, the narrative on him right now is that he is a program builder, and that's what he's done. He showed up here 4 years ago when this program was in a very bad place. Okay, so he went 5-7, he went 8-5, he went 12-2 and went to the CFP semis last year. Now you're back here, you're 13-2, you've won a couple of college football playoff games. Now it's time to go, like, win the whole thing. And I don't have to tell you this, Texas is one of those places where the mandate is championships. They want rings. They want SEC, Big 12, in the past, national championships. That is the mandate for the football program at a place like Texas. So if he does not win this game, like, the fans are not going to crush him. Look, like, the far-reaching fans will always crush the head coach. But I think the rational fans sort of see this season for what it's been and what this Texas team is and what this Ohio State sort of, like, war machine is. Right, especially for the last 2 weeks. My personal thing is you have to get this done now. You have to win this game. Then you have to go in the next game because you know what? Two things. There's no promise that you're getting back here again. Just because you went last year, just because you went this year, doesn't mean that you're going to get back here again. And I think I personally am pretty bearish on what Texas is projected as in 2025. I understand Arch Manning and the hype and everything. He's going to be a full-time starter for the first time, working with a new center, and probably 80% of Quinn Ewers' offensive line this year is leaving. New pieces on the outside, personnel's going to change. The time is right now. You have to get this done now because there's too many questions next year and no guarantee that you're getting back here.
Give me a you know, build a case for Texas winning this game.
Yeah, so you need to make Will Howard uncomfortable. You need to be bringing pressure. Bring Colin Simmons off the edge, right? Their stud freshman edge rusher. Bring Anthony Hill up the middle through the A gap. Bring pressure. Make Will Howard uncomfortable. You have to get at least a turnover, maybe two turnovers. You have to get to Will Howard, make him make a bad decision, and then The second thing may seem simple, but get the run game going. You know, the run game has been on a milk carton here for, 70% of the season. It's like, you know, they ran for 294 against Clemson. They looked great. And then, you know, the fourth quarter last week against Arizona State, you look up and it's like, oh, they've got, 19 carries for like 38 yards. Like, that's not getting it done. So this needs to be one of those days where the Texas offensive line is winning and getting a push, because you don't want yours throwing the ball 45 times. That's not who he is. That's not how he operates. That is not a recipe for success if you're asking Quinn Ewers to do everything tomorrow.
Now, you're a New York Jets fan, so before I let you go, I got to get in one Aaron Rodgers New York Jets question. what is, as a Jets fan, I mean, let's say I can let you into the room with ownership and get in there with the GM and Josh Newman, what are you telling the Jets about next season?
I don't even know where to start, man. Why would you throw that at me, man? I thought we were friends. Look, it's, you know, the cap hit, I don't have it in front of me, but the cap hit on Rodgers is, like, really, really steep. I don't know how they're going to do that. Like, Woody Johnson, the owner, is not generally the type of guy that's going to eat, like, a huge cap number. They, you know, it's a giant cap number. But at the same time, I don't see how you bring him back. I don't think you can do that. You know, you're looking at the list of coaching candidates. Nobody is, like, super blowing me away. Like, if Mike Vrabel, that's, like, my top pick. Like, I would like Mike Vrabel to coach the Jets. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. If we could get, like, Ben Johnson, I don't think that's happening either. There are so, like, I'm, like, talking here and I'm rambling because there are so many things that need to be done that I'm actually getting frustrated. So, thank you.
Yeah, cap hit $23.5 million for next year if he's on the roster. And if they released him, there's a creative way they could release him to drop it to 14, but then it would carry over a $35 million dead cap hit for 2026. So that's where you're at.
Gotta love going all in, right?
Yeah. All right. Hey, have fun. Stay safe. Stay warm. Josh Newman, thank you.
John, I appreciate you. Thanks.
There he is from Arlington, Texas, where he says it's gray skies and snow on the ground. I just looked up the weather. It's cold. So, Duck fans, you dodged a bullet. Staying home. I did see a tweet. You're going to love this, Stephen, from somebody who was at the Orange Bowl today and ran into some Ohio State fans at the Orange Bowl in the elevator of the team hotel. Ohio State fans who misread the bracket and accidentally bought tickets for the Orange Bowl instead of the Cotton Bowl and decided, what the hell, we'll just go anyway since we already bought non-refundable tickets. So some Ohio State fans showing up at the Orange Bowl. Have you ever seen anything like that? I did see, I have heard numerous stories about people who tried to buy tickets to go to Portland, Oregon, and instead went to Portland, Maine. But ending up at the wrong bowl game because you bought the tickets and you read the bracket wrong. You thought they were thought they were going to be at the Orange Bowl. So there's that. Leave it here. Our big splash is coming up.